Well, on page number 17, I think is what page it is, lesson number 10. The world has argued over this lesson for a long time. The world has had battle over this lesson for a long time. Man, his creation and fall. Now the Unitarians, Universalist, Unity, School of Christianity, so-called, the Christadelphians, all of these people believe that man is good. Man is good. By nature, he is good, and he, all you have to do is educate him and prop him up a little bit, and he can do all right. Because man is basically good.
One of them was.
Yeah. They say man is basically good. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that, does it? The Muslim world. The Muslim world teaches that a man is not responsible for anybody else's sin. Now, that sounds humanly, that sounds logical, doesn't it? That you are not responsible for anyone else's sin. All right? You are not responsible for anyone else's sin. That sounds real good. But is that true? Let's look. All right. Where did man come from? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Let's go to the book of Genesis. All right. Where did man come from? Genesis 1. I just finished the book of Genesis last week and the Bible in 8 ages, but here we are going right back to the first chapter. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Let's see what the Bible says here. 1:26. Who's got that?
And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Number 27.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
All right. So we have a man coming from the hands of God. Now, in Hebrew a lot of times will make a statement, and then it'll clarify it later. It makes a statement, and then later on you'll get in between the lines, okay? In between the lines. You'll get in between the lines later. All right, 2 and verse 2 and verse 7. Are you over there, Marilyn? Are you going to look at this? I know you don't have that good Bible. I know that it was left in the car, but you don't have it with you, do you? Nothing. All right. Brother Rex, are you there? Number 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
All right. Now let's go back and look and correct this just a little bit, because this isn't exactly what it says in Hebrew. Then the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, all right, formed man as he formed the dust of the ground, as he did it. Where did the dust come from? From God. All right. Now, man is not a secondary creation. Man wasn't made from something else. Man came directly from God. Man is a special creation because God made him in his image, and he came directly from God. Now, God created all the heavens and the earth. Okay? He created all that. The word heavens, Hashemayim in Hebrew, there is no word really for cosmos, universe. It says, Barashit bara Elohim es Hashemayim. It says, in beginnings created God the heavens. The word heavens there means everything, the whole cosmos, except it left out the earth. And then it says, we haaretz, and the earth. Okay? He created a whole cosmos, and then evidently he put the earth right exactly where he wanted the earth to be, because there is where he was going to deal in a special way with in the whole universe, especially mankind, because God was going to make man in his image. All right? Verse 7, and then Jehovah Elohim formed man as he formed the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breathings, plural, of lives, plural. All of us were there when that happened. Your life was in Adam when God breathed into him the breathings of lives. And where is the life? Where does the life reside? In mankind. In the blood. All right. And what was the first man's name? Mom, do you know what his name was? The first man? Did you know him? Adam. All right. I knew she knew him. Adam. Adam. Avam. Now, the root of Adam is Dom. Dom, and Dom is blood. All right. Blood. All right. He breathed into him the breathings of lives, and man became a living nephesh, soul, a living being. Okay? A living being. And then we have over here, in that same chapter, he told him, he said, in verse 15, he said, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. All right? The Garden of the East is what it says, to cultivate it and to keep it. Now, he's supposed to guard it. He's supposed to cultivate it. And the word keep it means to guard it. Okay? To guard, to protect it. Number 16 says, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, or from it, you shall begin the process of dying. Verse number 18, then Jehovah Elohim said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper worthy of him. Okay, a helper worthy of him. Now, God had a lot of animals, and Adam had named all the animals, and the animals were not food. Okay, I want you to understand, when God created animals, they were not food. They were pets. They were companions. But it says there wasn't a companion, that Adam just literally, he wasn't satisfied with just having companions of the animals. So God said, I'm going to make a helper suitable for him, worthy of him. And then it says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So God hypnotized Adam. Comes from the Greek word there in the Septuagint, hypnose. Hypnos. Hypnosis, okay? Lord God caused a deep sleep or hypnotized Adam, and he slept. And he took of his sides, plural. Okay? He took of his sides, not a rib, but sides. He took flesh, he took bloods, and he took bone. Okay? There's a whole lot of difference in Hebrew than it is in English. I've heard them say, when I was going to church when I was young, oh, you count a man and he's got one less rib than a woman. All this kind of stuff. Oh, maybe you heard that. You hear that? A bunch of baloney. Had nothing to do with the rib. He took of his sides and he closed up the fleshes instead of her, is what it literally says. He closed up the fleshes instead of her. So he took from his sides. And the Lord God fashioned into a, out of him, that's what it says, the sides which he had taken from the man and brought her to him. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called out of man. That's what woman means, is out of man, because she came out of man. Now here we have a secondary creation of God. The secondary creation of God in the human race was a woman. Okay? Man was the primary creation of God. He came directly from the hands of God. But woman came from man. Okay? Paul later states that in the New Testament. Because she was taken out of man. The word ishah is woman in Hebrew, and the word ish is man. Ish is man, and ishah is out of man or woman. And it says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And it said, the man and his wife were both naked, and were not ashamed whatsoever, because they were clothed with the glory and the innocence of God. Now let's go back to our lesson. Now we've got a little foundation there. Let's go back to the lesson. Where did man come from? From the hands of God and the person of God. He didn't come from dirt. A lot of people are going to say he came from dirt. That's not where he came from. He came out of God. All right. In what state was man created? Something's making me sneeze. What? Probably some of that dust out there from where I live. How was man? In what state was man created? In Texas, did you say? Might have been Oklahoma. Well, I'll tell you where he was. He was in the Middle East. There in between the Tigris and the Euphrates River in the Fertile Crescent. That's where he actually was. But that's not what we're talking about. He was created fully grown and mature and innocent and sinless. All right, he was sinless. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it states that, and Genesis 2 and 25 says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. They had no shame. They were clothed with the glory of God, and they were standing there in a state of innocence. Number 3, where was man created after, or where was man put or placed after he was created? You need to correct that little thing. All right. Where was man placed after he was created? The Garden of Eden, the paradise of God. It was a garden or a paradise. It was a what we call heaven on earth. That's where it was. Heaven on earth. Paradise. What does the word paradise mean? It comes from a guarded pleasure park. Okay? It comes from all the way back to Chaldee, or what we call the Persian language. It goes into Hebrew with paradise. It goes into Greek paradise and comes right into English, the word paradise. And that's what it's talking about here, this paradise. God created man, and then he created a paradise to put him in. He placed him there, and God planted it. All right, so it was a paradise, and it's a guarded pleasure park. Guarded. Guarded. Now, over here in Genesis, in eternity past, God had created angels. He had created spirits. And according to Satan's path, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, and Ezekiel 28, 1 through 19, it talks about Satan's path and how he rebelled in eternity past. And Satan was over the material creation of God. Okay? And God took that job from him. He created a man and replaced him. Now, angels are kind of like God, aren't they? They're supernatural. They're powerful. One of them was Lucifer, and he's very powerful. He's causing all this trouble that we have in the world today. He's still doing it. But God created man in his spiritual image, in his blood-flowing likeness, and his shadow-casting image is what it says. And he placed him over all of the material creation of God. I think that Adam was even over all the stars and all the universes and galaxies and all reality. He was over the whole cosmos. And he placed him here on his throne, which was earth. This was the throne room of the universe, the earth was. And he ruled from there. Now let's see what it says here. He placed him in this paradise, Genesis 2 and 8, and verse number 4, that is. I'll get it straight in a minute. What did God give Adam to do? Genesis 2:15. All right, the word there means to guard it. To work it and to guard it. He was the guard. He was the caretaker. This was man's throne room, right here, of the whole universe. Now, I think Adam knew all about the stars and the galaxies and about every fish in the sea and every bug that crawled and every snake, every cow, every sheep, every dog, giraffe, elephants, whatever. He knew them all. God taught him, huh? God taught him about all that. He to cultivate it and to keep it, to guard it. He put him to work. It's a good stuff for you to do something. You know that? How many of you like just sitting alone at home and just looking at the four walls? Anybody like that? Is there anybody? Can you raise your hand if you like that, just looking at the four walls? Well, if you had to stay in the house all the time, now I know that he likes to be at home a lot. But he likes to get out and climb a tree and take care of it every now and trim a bush and stuff. If he had to sit inside and watch and look at them four walls, he wouldn't be happy. He'd want to climb a tree and trim a bush. Man, it's good for you if you do something and keep your hands busy. There was an old saying one time, idleness is the what? The devil's workshop. Man's going to be busy doing one thing or another, good or bad. Okay?
How long is the period from the beginning to the fall?
From the beginning, when the creation of the heavens and the earth?
Yeah, until the fall.
Well, there's two periods there. Between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2 is a long period of time. I don't know how long it is. I don't know how long that Lucifer worshipped God and obeyed God. There's no telling. It might have been a million, a billion years. I don't know. It could have been 2 days. Who knows? Because we were in eternity past. But when God created man, He reconstructed the earth and then put man upon the earth. And how long man lived in a state of innocence? Well, I guarantee as long when he didn't have woman around, he did. He didn't have any problem right then, okay? I'm not. But that, how long did he remain without the woman? How long was that? How many animals were there in the world? A lot of them. What did he do? He named all of them. God taught him, did all kinds of stuff. How long did he remain without a woman? 10 years? 50 years? 500 years? How long? I don't know. Is it just doesn't say? I don't know how long he. I know that he was had a certain sadness to him because God said he's not happy. So let's take from him and make a woman, okay? If you got any questions like this, this is good, okay? This is. I want you to get some feedback here. He gave him something to do. The cosmos was contaminated with sin. So Adam had to guard the garden from the problem, the enemy. All right? And I think that his innocence was power. He was clothed with the glory of God. And he was powerful. And evidently, he was as powerful as Lucifer was at that time. Okay? Because he was guarded from Lucifer. Do you think God would give him something to do he couldn't do? No. Let's think about that. Now, number 5. What was the penalty God promised if man disobeyed? Genesis 2:17. We looked at that. What does it say there? Dying, you shall die. Dying, you shall die. First of all, he would be instantly separated from the fellowship of God if he did this. But then he would begin the process of dying. And how long did Adam live? Do you remember? Over 900 years, 950 years, something like that. Long time. But at the end of that, he was as dead as he could be. He was dead. All right. Dying, you shall die. Number 6. What power did God give man concerning his moral condition? Even your hyper-Calvinists will agree to this. What was these? What did he have? Genesis 2:17. Free will, what we call volition. V-O-L-I-T-O-N, volition. All right? He had volition. He had freedom of will. I think that every animal on the earth had freedom of will to some extent. Everything God created, the angels had it, didn't they? And the spirits. Now, we find out later on that when the snake allowed Lucifer to use its body to deceive the woman, did God hold the snake accountable? If the snake didn't have any volition, how could he be accountable? He was cursed more than every other beast of the field, all right? And he placed a special curse on him that would last even until the millennial reign. He'd still be crawling on his belly and eating dirt as he ate during even the 1,000-year reign of Christ. All right. Now down to number 7. Number 7. Can you read that one for me, Brother John? I don't want to be responsible for this. I ought to have one of these women read that. Number 7. No. Number 7 in the book. In the lesson. No. Just read number 7. Just read what it says.
Oh, okay. Who moved to cause men to sin?
Who do you think that was, Kathy?
Man.
Man did it? Well, it's part of him, wasn't it? Who did it? Mom, who did it? Who caused the problem here? Who initiated the problem?
You have volition, didn't
you? Yeah, who did it, though? Who led out in this situation?
Snake.
No, not. I tell you what, they're not going to say woman, are they? No, they're going to say woman. All right. Who moved to cause man to sin? Actually, Satan did. Satan did it. He was the one that initiated the distrust with God. Okay? And in the human race. Through whom did Satan work? The woman. All right. Woman. All right. Now, how much do you think that man loved that woman? How much? It was part of him. He didn't want to be separated from her at all. He loved her more than he loved God. That's a fact. Because he acted accordingly. All right? Through whom did Satan work? The woman. He worked through the woman. Now, do you think that Satan had ever approached man?
Probably
had. Didn't work, did it? No. So he was going to go... There's an old story. The chain is no stronger than what? The weakest link. So he went to the weakest link. He said, I'm going to go here because I think that I can get to her. I can't get to him, so I'm going to get to her. What was Satan's appeal to the woman? What was his appeal to her? Let's go to Genesis 3. All right, let's look at this. Now the serpent became. It not. It says was in all of the translations, but that's not the idea there. That's not the Hebrew. The serpent, the Nahash. Say Nahash. Nahash. Nahash became. He was not. He was innocent also, wasn't he? All the animals, they were pets and so on and so forth. They were all right. But what happened when the Nahash loaned his body to Lucifer? He became more crafty than any beast of the field which Jehovah Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, now we have the devil preaching through the snake. All right? Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? You shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Did God say that?
The tree of
yeah.
All the
yeah, you can eat from any tree. All right. But he's starting to preach here now. All right. He said, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? Every tree is what it literally says in Hebrew. You can eat from every tree in that garden. Surely you can. He's going to confuse the woman now. That's what he's going to do. Like a lawyer. I think he was the first lawyer. Number two. And the woman said to the Nahash, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. We can do this. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, she added to the Word of God or whatever. We have God telling Adam not to eat from this tree. Well, first of all, before you can eat from it, you got to what? Touch it. You got to look at it. You got to touch it. Then you're going to eat it. All right? Now, what was Satan's appeal to the woman? Let's look at this. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. You shall not die. He's a liar. I've known people that were liars. They would tell you a lie rather than telling the truth. Because I like the lie. It said, for God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. You're going to be like God. Knowing good and evil. All right. Well, the woman, now this is it. This is the answer to the question right here. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, women like food. They do. They think about food a lot. Don't they? Well, they're the homemakers usually. I mean, for the 6,000 years they were. Today, the microwave is, but they're homemakers, and they think about food a lot, and they think about pretty things and all of this. And let's look and see what happened here. She saw that the tree was good for food. All right, good for food. That it was a delight to the eyes, that it was pretty, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, and she took from it and ate, and she gave also to her husband, and he ate. All right, let's go back down here. What was Satan's appeal to the woman? Desires. That's what it was. Her desire. Desire. Okay. Number 10. When the woman offered Adam the fruit, what did he do? Do you think he knew what was going to happen to him? How long had he been in fellowship with God? And how long had God taught him? A long time before the woman came along. He knew more about it than the woman did. Adam taught the woman. He taught the woman.
I said you can use that.
He had been teaching him for a long time. He offered, when he was offered the fruit, what did he do? Instantly took it. Knowing exactly what was going to happen. Do you think he saw what happened to his wife? She was no longer clothed with the glory of God, was she? When she did that. He knew that. Number 11. What did the man and the woman know after eating the forbidden fruit that they did not know before? That they were sinners and they were unclothed. Before they were clothed with God's glory and His raiment, now they are naked. They no longer have God's protection and God's glory. Number 12. What was the immediate and eventual results of their sin? Genesis 3, 7 and 8. 3, 7 and 8. What was it? Genesis 3, 7 and 8. And their eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves breeches. Loincloths. And they heard the sound of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and a man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of Jehovah Elohim among the trees of the garden, hiding now. Hiding, because they're sinners and they're unclothed. And they made makeshift clothing. Now, Dakota, have you ever been out there to our fig tree? Have you ever touched the inside of a fig leaf? It's a scratchy thing. Now, they sewed these leaves together, and I'm going to tell you, these were very uncomfortable clothing, to say the least. Itchy and scratchy. They were uncomfortable, but they were partially clothed, so to speak. They thought they were their sin was covered up, but it wasn't. Now, let's look here and see what happened now in verse number 13.
During all that time, could they see the God?
They were afraid of God now.
They
walked with God. They walked with God. They were in total fellowship with God. They were created equal to God, weren't they?
But they couldn't see God.
They could see God. They saw who they saw was Jesus. They saw the pre-incarnate Christ. That's it. How was God? Did God make man in His image? And what image did He make him in? The pre-incarnate Christ, in the image of Jesus. That's who He made him in His image. Okay? That's pretty simple. Now let's look at number 13 and let's look at these five stages. What were the steps of man's fall? First of all, what are the senses? What are your senses?
Five senses?
Yeah. All right? He listened with his ears. That's what he did. He listened. She listened. He listened. Okay? What else did they do? They looked with their eyes. All right? They listened and they looked and then they wanted. They listened, they looked, and they wanted. Okay? They used their ears. They used their eyes to look with. And then what else? Huh? Oh, they probably smelled it. And they had to touch it. What are the senses of man? We got hearing, we got sight, we've got touch, we've got smell, and we've got taste. Okay? All of these, it involved all of these things. Now, why did God give man those senses? So that you could enjoy and experience pleasure. Is that right? God gave you these senses so you could enjoy and experience pleasure. How many of you like to eat, to taste food? Yeah, like, what is your favorite food? Huh? What is it?
Chocolate pie.
How about you, Kathy? What's your favorite food?
Fried chicken.
How about you, Brother John? What's your favorite food? The whole table? All right.
Mexican food.
All right. Mom, what's your favorite food? Everything. The whole table. Marilyn? Pecan pie? What is it?
Everything.
Dakota, what's your favorite? Eggs Benedict. What's your favorite? Steak? What? What's your favorite? What? What?
I know what I like. Your potato salad.
My potato salad. How about you, Dakota? What's your favorite?
Fruit.
The fruit. Fruit. All right. You know, one of the most beautiful, flavorful, sweet desserts in the world is honey. And you got all different kind of flavors of honey, from orange honey to almond honey to alfalfa honey, clover honey, sage honey, all different kinds of honey. It all flavors. And if you get sick, get eucalyptus honey. It tastes just like medicine. But you have all kinds of flavors out there. And God gave you these senses to enjoy what He created. Okay? so you can enjoy what he created. And here, all the five senses, they were caught up in lust in all of the five senses. They looked at the tree, they listened to the devil, they looked at the tree, they smelled of the tree, they smelled of the fruit, they tasted the fruit, and they ingested the fruit, and they became separated from God. What was the effect of Adam's sin, that Adam's sin had on all the human race? Romans 5:12 through 14, and then verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Adam condemned his children. He condemned them. Adam condemned his children. He did. Condemned them all to death. Sometimes parents can be awful rotten, can't they? Rotten to their children. We see in the Bible that sins of the fathers will go on to children for several generations sometimes. It'll just keep dominoing and affecting their lives. Adam, the sin that he committed has affected all of us. Every one of us. Adam's nature. Now, there is bad. When you're a bad boy or a bad girl, there's a Greek word for that bad boy and a bad girl. It's kakos. That's the word kakos. Kakos. That's Adamic, the Adamic nature. It's to do the wrong thing. Kakos. It looks just like it in English that it does in English or in Greek. That's what it looks like in Greek, and it looks that same way. You could read this thing right into English, I think, can't you? Kakos. That means Adamically bad. Adamic nature. And it is bad behavior. Behavior. Bad behavior. Bad boys. Bad girls. Okay? Number 15. What was God's reaction to their sin? Alright? What was God's reaction to their sin? Now we know, going back to the other one now, how does the sin nature get to you?
Through your parents, through your father.
Through your father, not the woman. Women, smile. You did not pass the sin nature on to your children. You didn't do it. It was the daddy that did it. Through the father is where the child gets its blood. And through the father is where the whole human race gets their Adamic nature. It's not Evadic nature, not Eve, is it? It's the Adamic nature. All right? As an Adam, all what? All die and all sin. Okay? As an Adam, all die or all sin. Romans 5 and 12. Let's go back over there real quick. Romans 5 and 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, then death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Adam gives us the sin nature. And he doesn't have to be on our back shoulder saying, now this is the way you do it. Because it's programmed in each and every one of us. Genetically, it is there. Okay? The woman gives form to the child. Any woman in Israel could have had the Christ child. Did you know that? Any woman in the world today, if God impregnated her with the messianic gene, she could bring forth a child and not have that child have sin. God picked out Mary at that period of time. Now, she was a virgin. He wanted us to understand that the woman was a virgin. Absolutely. That she did not know her espoused husband. She had not had sexual relationships with him. And she becomes pregnant by God. God brings forth his son, Marilyn.
Well, I have a question. My question is, because Adam was the primary
He took the blame because he was supposed to be telling his wife what to do and what not.
He was the primary creation.
Yes, he was the primary creation.
You think that's the reason?
The woman, sin was not attributed to the woman in the garden, was it? Who was it attributed to? Adam. Because Adam was responsible for everything that took place in the garden and the universe, as far as I can understand. He was responsible for it. Now, could Adam have had children if he had not sinned? Of course. Would those children have been under the curse of sin? No. Because a woman doesn't pass on the sin nature to the child. So did he have to eat of that fruit? Now, him and his wife would have been in total fellowship with each other, I guarantee you. And in the human race, that's almost always the fact, anyway. Huh. We all have a little differences. But they could have had children, and they could have had a sinless human race. The tree was going to be taken out. They no more had more access to this tree. But what did Adam choose to do? He chose to sin, and then through Adam's blood, not one drop of blood in a child comes from the mother. Unless she's shot or something where it's forced into the child's body. It does not normally go into the child's body at all. That's a medical fact. Okay? The blood comes from the father. And through the blood is how we all are caught up in sin. All right? Through the blood is life, and through the blood is death. Through the first Adam, we have death. Through the second Adam, his blood gives us life. All right, let's go on. What was God's reaction to their sin? He cursed. First of all, he cursed the snake, didn't he? All right. Go back to the book of Genesis, the third chapter. We were over there in verse 3 and verse 10 and said, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden and I was afraid. I became afraid and I became, because I became naked. And I hid myself. The word was there, but became in there. All right? And he said, I heard. Then the Lord God said to man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden and I became afraid and I became naked. So I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you became naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman. Now he's starting to blame shift. This is what we call blame shift. If you commit some terrible sin, the best thing to do is, if whatever you do, blame it on somebody else. Don't take responsibility for that sin. That's the Adamic nature of mankind. All right? The Adamic nature. Blame it on somebody else. That's right. It basically, that bad nature had taken over him. He said, the woman that you gave me, it's your fault, God. The woman you gave me. It's her. She did it. She gave to me from the tree and I ate. And then the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. The serpent deceived me. Now, did he? Did she tell the truth? Did Adam tell the truth? No, he didn't tell the truth. Did the woman tell the truth? That time she did. She did. The serpent deceived me and I ate. And that's exactly what happened. And the Lord God said to the serpent, now he's going to hold the serpent. Now, the serpent had loaned his body to Lucifer. Okay? So the serpent, the snake, he's responsible for what he did. Okay? He evidently had some sort of volition. How many of you have heard this before? All right, maybe you have. He said, cursed are you more than all the cattle. Every creature, every created thing, cursed you are above all of them and more than every other beast of the field. And on your belly you shall walk. And in the dust of the ground you shall eat all the days of your life. You're going to be a low creature. you're going to be the creature at the bottom of the totem pole, right there on the ground. And I will put active hatred. Now, verse 15 is the first promise of the Messiah. He's talking to Lucifer. He's cursing Lucifer. He's cursing the snake. He's cursed man. He's cursed woman. And I will put active hatred between you and the woman, your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you as to the head, a death-dealing blow, and you shall bruise him as to the heel. All right? And the woman, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and in pain you shall bring forth children. Now, did that happen? All you girls that are here that have children, did you have them in pain? It was painful? Yeah. Pain in childbirth, and pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall be over you. He shall rule over you. Ephesians 6 and 11 in the New Testament is where this goes to. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Now he was over the ground, wasn't he? He said, the ground is cursed because of you. You know why you step on goat heads now? And have foxtails out there bothering you? And stinging nettles and poison ivy and poison oak and goat heads? Sand burrs? And all them things that bother you out there and weeds that grow in your garden better than the garden does? Because of what Adam did. Your ground is cursed because of him. And in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. He didn't have to deal with any weeds. Before, he didn't have to deal with them. Now he does. Number 18. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow because of you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your nostrils you shall eat bread till you go to the ground. Till you go to the ground. All right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let's go on. Both thorns and thistles you shall, it shall grow because of you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your nostrils is what it literally says. You shall eat your bread till you go to the ground is what it literally says. Now, the translators in King James, it said you'll return to the ground because they were taken from the ground, but they weren't taken from the ground, but they were taken from the same elements of ground. It says because as from it you were taken, it says you are like dust, and to dust you shall go. You are like dust, like the dust of the ground. If you will analyze the dust of the ground and your body, you're going to find out it's made from the same elements. All the same elements have it. I don't know how many elements there are. Do you know how many elements there are, Dakota? I can't remember. It's been too long ago since I studied physical science. Anyway, in your body are all these elements. All right. Now we find out here. Let's go on a little bit further. God's reaction to their sin, they got cursed. The land got cursed. The animals got cursed. They got cursed. Number 16, before driving them out of the garden, what promise did God make to Adam and the woman? He promised the Messiah of the seed of the woman. All right. But there was going to be the conflict of the ages between her seed, which was one to become Jesus Christ, and the devil's seed, which is the Antichrist. Do the Scriptures teach that men by nature are sinners? Ephesians 2 and 1, and Ephesians 51 and verse 5, or Psalm 51 and verse 5. And let's go to Ephesians 2 and 1. In the New Testament, the book of Ephesians is actually not the book of Ephesians. Okay? That was kind of misnamed. If you go to the first verse, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. This is a circular or a general or a universal epistle. Originally, it left all that blank there because it was supposed to go to all the churches. But the church at Ephesus is the one that copied this letter and sent it out, so it became known as the Ephesian letter. If you look over in the columns, you'll find out that the ancient manuscripts do not have the word at Ephesus. It just was a parenthesis there, so you could write your own church in, the church at Valley Acres, or the church at Valley Baptist Church in Bakersfield, whatever. Who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you. All right? So this is who the letter is written to. Now let's go to the second chapter. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead in your trespasses and sins. In which we formerly walked according to the cosmos, the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, and the spirit that is now energizing the sons of disobedience. Among them we are all had our all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Isn't that what happened in the garden? We were captive to our lust. Adam made us captive to our lust, all of our senses. Smell, sight, hearing, taste, and touch. Isn't that the way the world leads you on today? The same way? The story hasn't changed. The players just change according to each generation. In what state were men naturally? In what state are men naturally? Ephesians 2 and 1. Were sinners by nature. I don't care what the Unitarian Universalists say or whatever. Even the Seventh-day Adventist theology is, puts man on a higher level. You're able to communicate with God. John 5, 24. What does that say there? John 5 and 24. John 5, 24. Let's see who can get that. I know Kathy's going to get that there first.
I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has passed over from death to life.
All right. Men are naturally sinners. We're dead. But we have a chance at eternal life through Jesus Christ. Number 19. What was the difference between the woman and Adam in the transgression? 1 Timothy 2:14. Hebrews 9:13-14. 1 Timothy 2:14. Who's got 1 Timothy 2:14? Are you there, Rex?
No.
Oh, okay. 1 Timothy 2:14. Kathy, are you there yet? All right.
And Adam was not the one who deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner.
Yeah. All right. The woman was deceived. She became a sinner, but she wasn't going to pass on her sin nature to the children. When Adam did that, then we all became sinners. Adam is responsible for our sins. And in every one of us, now we could just jump up in the world and say, I'm not going to be a sinner when I was born. That's ridiculous, isn't it? It says, David said, we all have gone like sheep astray. All were led like sheep gone astray. We all came from our mother's womb speaking lies and going the wrong way. We all have. Every one of us. Even little babies lie, don't they? They'll cry when they're not wet. They'll cry when they're not hungry just because they want attention. They want it their way. They'll do that. They will. Now let's look at it. What was the difference between the woman and Adam and the transgression? The chemistry of the blood. The woman could not pass on the sin nature to the human race. But the man did, and he made the choice. Do you think he knew about it beforehand? I think God taught him all about it. He acted innocent, and he acted like he didn't know. He acted like he tried to cover up his sins, but it didn't work, did it? Because he chose to go the wrong way. Now, number 20. Physical death, what is it? Their Greek word for physical death is nekros. Nekros. That means a dead body. All right. Spiritual death. What is spiritual death? That means you're separated. Thanatos is a Greek word. Separated, split from God. Do you know that the death of God's Son made us accessible again to the very throne of God through prayer? God's Son died for our sins. God's Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed us from all sin. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away what? The sin of the world. All of it. And the sin that Adam sinned in the garden that passed on to you, you're not responsible for it anymore if you look to Him." Now let's look at what total hereditary depravity is. All right? Total hereditary depravity, what does that mean? Jeremiah 13 and 23. Isaiah 1, 5 and 6. All right? Jeremiah 17 and verse 9.
The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?
All right. The heart is deceitful above all things and who can understand it? We know that we're sinners, don't we? When do you really understand that you're a sinner? When God convicts you with the Holy Spirit and you realize that you're undone before Him, and that's when you call upon Him to save your soul because you have a sacrifice. You have a way back. Adam had a way back. How did God clothe Adam in the Garden of Eden? What did He do? What did God do? He what? He took an animal had to die because He took the skin off that animal and made clothing for Adam and Eve. He clothed them, and what that taught them is something else has got to die for you. You can't do it yourself. Something else has got to die for you. And their first offspring that they had, now she probably had multiple births, but who was her son? Who was Eve's first son and Adam's first son? Cain. Cain means what? Gotten. And she said, "I have gotten the man, even the Lord." They thought the Messiah. They thought this was a substitute. This was the Messiah child. And of course, they had another child, and his name was what? Abel. Now, the Messiah child that they thought was going to be so great and take away their sin, what did that Messiah child, the one that was the heir, what did he do to the other child? He murdered him. Not only did he murder him, it said in Hebrew that he slashed him and slashed him and slashed him and slashed him. He didn't shoot him one time. He shot him 100 times. He didn't stab him one time. He stabbed him 1,000 times. That's what you call overkill. That's what you call to kill with great malice. And hate. He killed and killed and killed and killed and killed and killed. So do you think that they saw the fruit of their sin in their life before they died? They got to see a child die. That's hard on a parent, you know that? To see your children die, to see your children hurt, to see your children sick. That's hard, isn't it? See your children die, that's miserable. Well, they saw it. And they saw the fruit of their sin. Do you have any questions? Brother John.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. That her desire will be to her husband. That's not a good desire.
The desire will be to find a husband. The female. Yeah. Yeah. It is every woman wants to find a husband. All right? Now, originally, this desire, what did woman do with this desire? A long time ago. She turned it into prostitution, didn't she? The desire. She turned it into prostitution, and that's what we call a twisted. You know, kakos is sin, but the panaria. That is a twisted, that's to take something natural and to make a perversion out of it. And that was horrible, what the woman race, the female race has done. But you know what? We have an example of that even in the lineage of Jesus Christ, don't we? Who was that prostitute? Rahab the harlot. God saved her. We have the woman in the New Testament that was a prostitute, probably Mary Magdalene. Okay, I don't care what they say about the all of this Da Vinci Code and everything else. She was a prostitute, but she got saved, and God changed her heart. She had become very wicked, and she had used man's desire and woman's desire to make gain, dishonest gain. Okay? Let me read you this little thing that I wrote. Since life is in the blood, when man died spiritually, something happened to the blood. Sin affected the blood of man, not his body, except indirectly, because it's kept alive by blood. Flesh can only be called sinful flesh because it is nourished and fed and sustained by sinful blood. And since God has made of one blood all nations, sin is present in all of Adam's children. For in that one sin all have sinned who are of the seed of Adam. Adam's blood carries the sentence of death in it. All men die. This command, or this this sentence of death, without exception, only Jesus is called the seed of the woman. All right, she is called the seed of the woman, and his sinless blood was necessary for once and all to bring us back to God. His blood was necessary to bring us back to God. Well, thank you. Do you have any other questions? You've got me for a few minutes if you want to ask something. All right? Do you understand it? Now, the Hebrew and the English are a whole lot different. That's why we studied where man was made as God made the dust of the ground. God made him as he made the dust of the ground, not from it. He was to become dust because he knew that he would sin, and that was a prophecy. He would become dust. He would go to the ground. All right? Because he was created as the dust of the ground, therefore, because of his sin, he would become dust someday. All right? Next week, we're going to talk about sin. These are all basic Bible doctrines, aren't they? Basic Bible doctrines. But the world is really mixed up on them. You cannot be good and get to heaven because you have a sinful nature. The only way to turn that nature around is by the blood of Jesus Christ. We all try to make excuses. There's all kinds of religions out there in the world. And so many of them say that man is not a sinner. People are sinners because they didn't have a good chance in life. They had a bad mama, they had a bad dad, they had a bad upbringing. They didn't have enough education or whatever. We're bad because we're Adam's children. There are some people that are worse than others. But we're all bad. That's why God made hell in a diverse way. Every place in hell is not going to be as bad as the other places. There's grades or degrees of heaven and degrees of hell. All right? Hell is not a place you want to go at all. But there are degrees in hell. Because some people are worse than others. All right? Capital punishment is a death sentence according to the state. You have committed a crime so bad that you deserve to die. They don't try to reform you. They put you in a gas chamber, give you a lethal injection, chop your head off, hang you, shoot you, whatever. Because that's a crime so heinous against the state that you should not live. There is no crime so heinous that God does not save a person.
Where did you find that at, Jim? Is there degrees of hell?
Jesus said to the cities around the Sea of Galilee, "Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, so-and-so," whatever city he was saying woe to. "It would be more tolerable in hell for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you." Because Sodom and Gomorrah had the angels that went there to get Lot out. They had Lot to witness to them, and he wasn't a good witness. They had the angels, which they tried to fornicate with. But he said, "You heard the words of the very Son of God, and so you're more responsible for it, and it will be more tolerable in hell than it will be for them, for it is for you. You are going to be judged by according to how much light you have, how much light or how much truth you've heard. All right? And same thing in heaven. What we do for the Lord after we're saved does count. All right? It does count. Any other questions? I'll turn you loose on the world. Go out and do something eternal. You ready? Shirley, you have any questions? No? Mom, you got any questions?
Yeah.
Yep, what?
Well, if God can make Adam, why did he have to tear him up to make Eve? Why couldn't he just make Eve like it is?
Well, that's what God's choice was. God took Eve from Adam, but because there was a bond there, he separated mankind from woman from man, and then he put them back together in marriage, which was a very holy union, and it's a very beautiful. God made it that way. He made the man, and then he took from the man woman out of him, and then he put them back together. You always say your other half, and literally that is true, the other half. Because a man and a woman are not whole without the other half, are they? Very few people in this world are eunuchs.
Some men are eunuchs by choice.
Yeah.
It
says that there are eunuchs in the world. Some men were made eunuchs by other men.
Yeah.
Okay. Some men were castrated by other men.
Yeah.
Okay. Some made themselves eunuchs. Paul the Apostle had himself castrated, according to history. His wife divorced him. His children denounced him, and when that happened, he didn't want to ever be married again. He had himself made a eunuch. There were people that were, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, was a eunuch. Did you know that? How many of you know that Daniel was a eunuch? Anybody know he's a eunuch? The king of Babylon made him a eunuch. The Hebrew children were eunuchs. They castrated all of them. They had power over them. Okay? And then it said some people are born eunuchs. There are people in this world that are born that have no desire for a mate. They just don't. That's just the way it is.
Well, you said they're not whole women that are married.
Yeah.
That's natural.
The natural way for a man and woman. When you're little, you start thinking. I mean, girls, when they're 12 and 13 years old, they start thinking about a boyfriend and how they're going to spend the rest of their life and all this. They do. How they're going to make home, they're going to, how many children they're going to have, they name their kids in their heads, all this kind of stuff. Because that's the natural thing that God put in you to do that. Some people don't have that. There are some women that never had a boyfriend, don't want one. Some men that never had a girlfriend don't want one, but that is not the normal. Okay?
But that doesn't really make them lost people.
No. But the whole human race is man and woman that were separated and then put together in marriage and they became one flesh. And that is a gift that God gave to the human race. It's a gift. Every desire, every pleasure, every sensation that you have, God made it. Did you know that? He made it. He created that. Every woman and every man, you know what I'm talking about. In marriage, every one of those pleasures and sensations, God put there on purpose. He did. And He gave it to you as a gift. It's beautiful. Anything else? All right. Well, this is a beautiful lesson. God made man in innocence. He became sinful by choice. And then God has put us back into His graces by the blood of Himself, by the blood of Jesus Christ. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Father, thank you for the lesson we had today. We ask you to impress it upon our minds. We ask you to forgive us where we fail you. Ask you also this week to help us glorify you with our lives. Forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.